Today's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at Starbucks. Kate and I are in Seattle. We are doing it up big here. We spent the entire day at Starbucks headquarters. I can't wait for you to hear about some of the things that we did. It was lovely, right, Catherine?
It was really, really cool. As a huge coffee drinker, I was very into it. And also, just being in Seattle, I was here once before, as you guys have heard me ramble about, but last summer I came here to find myself. I had never been to the Northwest. So bought a plane ticket, came out here for over a week, rented a car, went up and down the coast, went to see a buddy's grave from the Marine Corps who died in Afghanistan.
Keeping it light.
No, it was lovely. Came up here, did Tacoma, Seattle. And so it's fun to be back here again and feel like I had that big dick energy yesterday where where I kind of knew where we were going a little bit. I'm like, you know, if we go past these trees, we've got a cool view.
When we would go places, Kate, like up here on the left, there's going to be this little park and there's a homeless man named Hank. I'm like, how the fuck do you know that? How do you know that Hank lives in that tent? I do like that Seattle lets the homeless people just have a tent. It's like tent city.
It is. It's a giant bivouac site pretty much in certain areas.
I love that term, bivouac site.
Yeah.
And what's the monster? The Wookiee monster?
What's that?
You never had a Wookiee monster.
No. Well, I think I was called one sometimes.
I think it's a bivouac monster. There's some kind of monster. God, I've been on the Marine Corps for a long time. There's some kind of monsters that come and takes down your tents. And if you don't, like, put them all in a row, it's usually a staff NCO that will come through and fuck up all your tents.
No, I never heard that. Oh, yeah, I guess we always set our tents upright, so that monster never came to visit.
Must be.
And it's not, it's not a giant bivouac site. This is absolutely beautiful city. I'm loving it.
Like San Francisco, when we went there and everybody's like, there's poop everywhere.
And then we didn't see any.
No. We saw like maybe one poop, but it's impossible to know who that from. It could be from a chihuahua or it could be from Hank.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. What we do know is that we met a ton of veterans because when we got to Starbucks, we were like, hey, can we interview a veteran or two? And then it was just like a factory of veterans just showed up.
Yeah.
And none of them had like super gnarly beards or tattoos, and they didn't have any tribal tattoos. So I'm not sure if it was just a bunch of stolen valor.
I saw the Marine gentleman. I blanked his name, but he had tats.
Dan.
I could see. Dan.
Dan had a couple tattoos. But it wasn't anything like really to be ashamed of, which is what I'm used to, like myself. Like. All his tattoos were looking good, so I don't know if he was a plant. But there's 17,000 veterans. I'm sure some of them have really ridiculous tattoos that they've hired since 2003, and they're going to raise their commitment to 25,000 by 2025. Starbucks is partnering with Team Red, White, and Blue, Team Rubicon, and the mission continues as a way to get more people who serve with the military and veterans out in the community. Starbucks has 45 military stores and military communities across America with 132 stores by 2022, excuse me. They're doing a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
It's a lot of numbers, but it's really cool.
Like, I sound like I have mush brain a little bit just when I was reading that. I've been better on my reading. I'm going to say I need remediation. Take a step back there. That's fine. I'm getting out in front of it, so please don't tell me that my reading got worse in this episode.
Your reading got worse in this episode.
Thank you, Kate, for abiding by my wishes. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
But we spent all day listening to all the things that they were doing, and we could go back tomorrow more. They just had more and more stuff. Eventually, we're like, okay, we get it. You guys are doing a lot.
And I felt like, too, I keep being like, well, they're doing this and that and this and that. I'm so, like, genuinely, it has nothing to do with the fact they're sponsoring us. I was so impressed and blown away by all the things they're doing today. Whether it's creating hubs outside of the military bases that are kind of networking and resources for veterans and military families and spouses and whoever. So I thought that was really cool. We got to make coffees today. Or, pardon me, lattes. Learned how to make lattes. And the best part, somebody put, for us, the Marines, they put a dick in the latte art.
They drew a dick art with latte.
To make us feel at home.
And I slurped that thing up. I slurped it up.
My latte was delicious. I'm not going to lie. I was shocked that I was able to do it because I've always been terrified of that steam thing behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I used it, pulled that lever, did it. Very proud of myself.
All right. Cue the music.
Good morning, Charlie. Let me buy you coffee so you can feel good and you start with your day. Tell me what you want, cappuccino or latte or a hot chocolate, I don't mind what you say. Let me take you Starbucks, cause only $5. 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 Wake up, shorty, I'm on my way.
Alright, so there's big news in the military. I had a proud moment. You know, I think that sometimes being a veteran, you get kind of jaded about things that are happening in and around the Marine Corps because you're like, oh, that was the same when I was in and not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. People going on deployments all the time. You have different type of training. Like, you just see a lot of the same old shit and you get kind of jaded. But there's these moments that happen that pop up in the news and you're like, fuck, man, I am proud to have the title of Marine.
Yep.
There was definitely one of those this week. There was a woman named Lindsay Metzger who tweeted out a video. There was a fire that was raging in Southeast DC, which is very close to where the Marines are stationed on 8th and I. If you don't know what 8th and I is, it's where the Marine Corps Silent Drill Team plays. The President's own Marine Corps band is there. There's a band that's dedicated to the President, so whenever they have like parades and shit like that, they go and play there. 8th and I Marines, by and large, are infantrymen or band members.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones who do, like the Silent Drill Team, they all come from an infantry background. They're all the same height. They're all the same weight. Essentially, they want them to look as uniform as absolutely possible. Well, Kate, why don't you read the story of what actually happened?
All right. Dozens of senior citizens were saved from a raging apartment fire thanks to Washington, D.C. firefighters and several U.S. Marines. The Marines, who were not wearing fire gear, sprinted toward the two-alarm fire at Arthur Capper Senior Public Housing Building in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. Marines rushed into the building to rescue those who needed assistance and evacuated residents to the Marine Barracks Washington Annex, where they were checked and treated for any injuries and sheltered until their loved ones arrived. The Marines who responded were from a barracks located just down the street from the building. Flames burst through the roof of the four-story building as firefighters climbed ladders and entered to search for residents. We had four transports to local hospitals. Although no fatalities have been reported, they're still searching the building. But that's the video that you started talking about there. That is what the video was of, was the Marines sprinting from 8th and I down to that fire. And it was a moment you watch it and you're like, fuck yeah, Marines, doing the right thing, putting other people before yourself, running together as a unit, like getting down there and doing the right thing for the American people around you. I really loved it.
And there was that moment where you're reminded of, I think it was, I forget who the commandant was at the time, but they made this huge Marine Corps push about, we run to the sounds of the chaos. We run to the sounds of the guns. And it was just that moment when most people would be scared out of their minds. It was just Marines dropping whatever they were doing and sprinting to the location. It was sent to me that one of the firefighters who was on the scene, his name is Raymond Edwards, who obviously is a hero in his own right. He said, these guys were absolute all-stars and on fire today. I've never seen anything like them. Every time I turned around, they were helping carry out victims. They even tried to push down a hallway with us until the smoke pushed them back. Thank you. So you even have firefighters that were like, shit. Because if you're a trained firefighter, that's what you do. If you're a Marine in a firefight, that's what you do. I would be same if I was in the middle of a firefight and then all of a sudden a firefighter came up and was like, let me grab a gun. I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? I think they probably naturally in a fire situation, you only want experts because you don't know what you're doing. I wouldn't know what I was doing. Like,
right.
If there was a fire like in this hotel, I would have no idea what to do, like how to go about rescuing people or things like that. Like if you touch the door, like how to check if there's too much smoke in there. How I know stop, drop, and roll. That's about
as far as your expertise goes.
Use the back of your hand.
Yeah, the back of your hand to touch the door. Producer Bren with the fire knowledge. But I like to, I think it helped that they were all in uniform. So the firefighters aren't like, there's a bunch of civilian dudes running in here with good haircuts. Like, what is going on? And
well, they should have checked to make sure they had good haircuts.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Did you shave today? Then get the fuck out. We'll have somebody else save these people.
There was another comment that I got on Twitter. One of the guys that listened to the show, he's a Marine too. He was like, you know that some ate-up gunny is going to be like, why the fuck were you out in town in uniform?
Yeah. Yeah, you know they're going to get in trouble somehow. somehow, I hate some
that.
Way.
Can we talk about that for a minute, how much bullshit that is?
I have a story about that. Well, can I tell you? So on my first deployment, I was with 2-9 in Marja, and they had a GBOSS system, which, if you don't know, it's ground-based something-something surveillance. It's like a huge tower that you put up that has an infrared camera, a night vision camera, and I think just like a regular fucking camera.
Thermal?
Yeah, it might be. But anyways, there's three different kinds of cameras. They can see everything. So you sit down below it in like this Connex box with all these TVs, and you can see everything that's going on around you in like the town around you. Mm-hmm. So we would go outside the wire, and sometimes the officer on that camp would go in to, and he could watch us on patrols. And if somebody like took their safety gear off, if we like stopped to talk to a local and somebody took their sunglass, their eye pro off, or took this off or that off, when we got back on, people get chewed out. And my thing with that is, instead of looking out for us, so instead of like, and the Marines like really, really resented him for it. So like, you're just supposed to be looking out for us, not looking to like chew us out when we're doing this extremely stressful fucking job. Like, get off our dick.
That was one of the main reasons why Bo Bergdahl said that he did what he did. Did you know that? Did you remember that part of the story?
No.
When he was on the Serial podcast, he said that one of the biggest triggers for him that caused him to leave was he was in a firefight in Afghanistan. And when he came back, they were like tied down for basically 28, 30 hours, something like that, and constant ticks, constant battles. And whenever they got back, their commanding officer was like, "Why aren't you guys shaved?"
That's a story.
I could see that.
That's a story like from across the military, that there's always that one that like doesn't know the gray line, where it's like, all right, this is a special situation right now. Let me like cut a break on this.
Have a little bit of self-awareness. Yeah. And I think that is the kind of leader that you want in the military, who can understand there is rules, there is disciplines, but you have to be able to stray away when it makes sense. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, that should not be the first thing. Like, if you're like, glad you guys made it back okay, glad everyone's doing all right, now let's go eat some chow. After you get some chow, let's get cleaned up, let's prepare for the next time.
Right.
That type of thing. It takes nothing to be that type of leader instead of being a dick.
But I feel like if you're a dick, those opportunities are like the best opportunities to be a dick. I would jump all over it if I was a dick.
And it's usually like, do you remember, I forget what his name was, but in Band of Brothers, Ross.
Yeah.
Oh, it's usually guys like that who have never done anything, who won't ever do anything, that just know about the rules.
Yeah.
Things like that. I just hate that type of leadership.
Yeah.
Although I was that type of leader.
You were a hardo.
I was very much a hardo.
But I think you were able to probably draw the line at certain times. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, I expected high level of discipline from my Marines for sure. But I think that in those moments, when I was deployed, not so much. I was fine and good.
Yeah.
But when I got back and I was like in the company gunnies, but that is the role though. Like, a lot of it is to be the dick.
I think it says that in the description of company gunny. That's the first thing. Yeah. Be a dick.
Senior enlisted dick advisor. For sure.
I want to talk about, now that we're on the little bit of the deployment track, military.com came out with...
Hold on. Before we go there.
Oh.
I am also jealous of these Marines who got to run into the elderly.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've played oftentimes when I'm on a flight, I look around, I'm like, okay, motherfucker, make a move.
You're going to be the hero.
Make a move, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I am ready to take you down.
I used to keep a very nice pen in my travel bag.
Oh.
A very sharp, nice pen. I did. Because I was like,
fountain pen?
Yeah. I was like, if shit goes down on the plane, I'm going to take this pen.
Was this mostly when you were a junior Marine?
Yeah.
Because you know that you're going to get like a humanitarian award.
Yep. As soon as I was out, I was like, doesn't matter now. But I was like, that was my like hero daydream, was that I save people on a plane with this pen. And I do it Liam Neeson style, right to the jugular.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always think that they're going to be a couple steps away. Like, I've gone through malls and I'm like, I wish a motherfucker would.
The only way I would not is if I get up and start to save people and then no one pulls out a cell phone to record it. I'm going to be like,
how shitty that would be.
You find out after it didn't get on
like a United flight and nobody recorded it and you don't even go viral. Yeah. Is it worth it?
No.
Just like, take it down, dude.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yes.
But you're right. There are days.
I take that back. I immediately take that
back.
Yeah,
we totally take that back. Bad look. Bad look, CBD. But I will say, I feel like you're lying if you say you haven't ever had this like fantasy of like, where you're the hero saving people.
Anything. Like if somebody gets into a fender bender and the car's not on fire and I don't get to take somebody out and like be a hero, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That stinks.
I don't know. I've never had the chance to be a hero. I've never, but I'm waiting for it.
I gave a guy mouth to mouth at college.
At college?
Yeah.
Did you do it right?
Actually, I've done it twice. I've saved two dudes. And it was all within like 5 weeks of each other. Well, one was almost dead. Like I gave him legit CPR. It was an old man, worked in as a janitor at UTSA, collapsed on a ladder. Well, stairs for those keeping score at home as civilians. I gave him mouth to mouth. Paramedics came, rushed him away. They said this guy would have died for sure if you
weren't. Whoa.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
The other one was I was driving to school, and it was around 6 o'clock in the morning. I had a 7:30 class, and I wanted to get there to study because I had like an algebra test, and I'm not very good at math. I'm like basically a stupid person when it comes to math.
Same.
And so I was driving, and I noticed like a lump of clothes in the cul-de-sac by my house. And when I go around the corner, I was like, maybe that's not a lump of clothes. And then I go back, and there's this old man that was laying in the cul-de-sac. And one of the houses, like three doors down from me, they have like a hospice type of situation, mm-hmm. because it's like a 6-bedroom house. And so they have some old people who live there. There's constantly like paramedics going in and out. So I think it's almost like a halfway house for mm-hmm. the elderly. And I think that he snuck out in the middle of the night and was just laying there.
Yeah.
And so I stop my car, get out of my car, and I'm like, are you okay? And he says, yes. And I said, where do you live? And he like points over at that house. And so I asked him if he was injured. He's like, no, I'm just tired. And was like just laying there.
Yeah. So you're like, all right, cool. See you later, buddy.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, fucking guy, you might want to get into the culvert at least. Like,
yeah.
Hop into the ditch, bitch. There's like plenty of rattlesnakes. Don't worry about those. So I scoop him up and take him and put him like on the porch and ring the doorbell. And they're like, Mr. Harold, what are you doing out here?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you sons of bitches. Like, yeah. How do you not know? Like, how do you not have an alarm on your house if an old dude who needs to be like in a hospital isn't there?
Classic Mr. Harold, though. I mean, the guy could sneak around.
But he's lucky he didn't get ran over.
I know.
And he's like covered in piss.
Ooh.
So when I picked him up, I had like piss all over him.
Yeah.
I already missed like this class. And so I had to go home and change because I had piss. And then I didn't make it in time to study. So I tell my algebra teacher, I'm like, I was failing the class. I'm like, let's be honest. On video, on podcast, let's be honest.
Failing.
I was failing the class.
Been there.
And I said, hey, can I take the test tomorrow? Been a kind of a stressful morning. This is what happened. Seems like a far-fetched story. Like, so like that's a little bit more elaborate than dog ate my homework. It's like I was covered in piss. I had to go home, take a shower because I was covered in piss.
But you did a good thing. You racked up very good karma. And on the opposite end of things, can I talk about avoiding bad karma?
Mm-hmm.
So military.com came out.
Also, side note, karma is the name of the city I was shot in. So.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, it all comes back around, my friend.
Karma, Iraq, just outside of Fallujah.
My goodness. Well, hopefully it wasn't due to any of these five things that military.com says are the most chilling military superstitions.
And these are going to be brought to you by our good friends at Tommy John's.
Oh.
Yeah. So Tommy John's is changing the game in underwear and all kinds of different clothes. Let me put it this way. Tommy John doesn't give a fuck. They give three fucks. Actually, three Fs. Fabric, fit, and function. Tommy John obsesses over every little detail, such as stitch, by using proprietary fabrics and perform like nothing you've ever seen before. As a result, Tommy John's men and women underwear sport a no wedgie guarantee. That's a strong guarantee.
That is a strong guarantee.
My friends, my butt crack is deep and it is wide.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. They stay put, waistbands, and a range of other fabrics that are luxuriously soft, feather light, moisture wicking, and breathable, and designed to move with you, not against you. That means there is no bunching and no riding up. Tommy John's is so confident in their underwear that if you don't like your first pair, you can get a full refund with the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. That includes their new life-changing women's underwear for the ladies out there who like to wear something over their bottoms too. That's sold out in just 6 weeks, which is fully back in stock now. Give 3 F's about your underwear and upgrade with Tommy John's. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/chaps for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/chaps for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/chaps. What are these five things?
These five military superstitions are, starting with number five, and let me know if you've heard of these or not. I feel like this isn't just a military one. Don't carry a white lighter ever.
That is true. I've heard that one.
Yes. So is that in the military? Because I feel like I've heard other people say that too. Or maybe that came from the military. I think
it came from the military.
Well, let me say.
I remember when I used to smoke and I first got to Okinawa and I went to go rip a cig. And as soon as I did, my sergeant slapped the white cigarette out of my hand, or the white lighter out of my hand. He's like, what the fuck are you
doing? If white cigarettes were bad luck, then we'd be really, really bad vibes.
I've heard that, and just in my personal life, not like anything military related, I do not like using white lighters. Just because
white lighters
told me that they were bad luck, I avoid them.
Sticks in your head, right? Well, this superstition is held by a huge number of people, mostly because of the notorious 27 Club, a club made up of famous musician and artists like Jimi Hendrix, Kurt Cobain, and others that died at the age of 27 while carrying a white lighter.
Ooh.
In the military, however, this superstition was given legs by a bad experience with an amphibious assault vehicle. Rumor has it the vehicle lost its brake and went off a 100-foot cliff while a Marine carried a white lighter and another had a horseshoe. The horseshoe might have been good luck, but the lighter's bad mojo was enough to disrupt the balance. Never heard that one, but I want to know who was driving that one over the 100-foot cliff.
Probably O'Doyle.
Yeah, they're probably using some weird app, made a wrong turn.
O'Doyle rules.
Hopefully that is not true. This one I've never heard of. Number four, Neptune doesn't like whistling. So basically whistling is bad luck. I know we couldn't whistle
sound
in uniform.
Sound discipline. Yeah,
sound discipline. It's a long-held belief in many cultures that whistling, especially at night, is an invitation to the spirits. Kind of challenging. Yep, this is true. But apparently, it's maritime tradition, too. Instead of spirits, it will summon the king of the sea, Neptune. So if you find yourself on a ship and have the urge to whistle, don't.
Let's hear your best whistle.
Okay. Impressed?
That's pretty good.
What's yours?
I don't want to do that stupid. That's a good one by me. Nailed it.
Number three is one I'm sure we've all heard of. Apricots.
What? Why can't you do apricots?
Well, is it apricots or apricots?
I think I would say if... I don't know now because it's in my head, honestly. Like you saying that, it's hard for me to select. But I'm just going to do it apricot.
Apricot?
Yeah.
That's quite the pronunciation.
I can't do it. I have a herpes.
Anyway, I never heard of this one before. Apricots. A Stars and Stripes article from 1968 explains a story surrounding Marines via Cuba Viet who continuously found themselves under attack by artillery barrages. What they started to notice was that these barrages would start almost immediately whenever a Marine ate a can of apricots from their sea rations. Coincidence? You be the judge. I will say, I never saw an apricot.
What kind of sea rats they get? They get apricots.
I know. Fancy. That's fancy boy shit. My God.
Goodness gracious.
Right next to their caviar ones.
Oh, what is it from Notting Hill? Apricots drenched in honey.
Yeah, that's fancy shit. Yeah, that is fancy. Wow. Oh, I guess those guys in Vietnam had it pretty easy. Anyways, number two, skeleton keys. I never heard of this one either. This superstition comes from the U.S. Army. If you look closely, you'll see a pretty distinct key-shaped blotch within the modern camouflage patterns. In what may be coincidence, several soldiers took bullets right in the keys. It could be coincidence or deeper. I've never heard of that one, but I'm looking at a photo. Either. This is great radio. There is, if you look at the Army digis, if you have a key pattern on yours, watch out. There's one here circled, and it looks just like a key. I think it's like when you open the Tootsie Roll wrapper, if you get this, is it the star?
Yeah, but that actually doesn't mean anything.
Oh, I thought
I used to think that that means you get a free one.
No, but it doesn't?
And I went and, like, you don't.
This is a silly one. By the way, I'm going to ask you at the end.
Okay.
Which superstition, the biggest one I've ever heard, they missed to me. So I'll ask you that in a second. Because number one is saying the R word, rain.
Oh.
Thought
we were going to drop hard R's for a second.
I thought there was going to be some hard R's.
Yikes.
Marine soldiers and anyone who has a job in the military that requires going outside believes that using the term rain will change the weather from anything else to pouring rain.
I never heard it called rain. I always heard it called inclement weather.
Yeah. I've never heard that one. What's the one that you think is not covered here?
Charms.
Charms. That is the only one, really, that
don't
I
eat
knew.
The green charms.
I thought it was just charms in general.
Oh, no. You can eat charms. What the fuck are you talking about?
No. We'll have to ask our users. But if you got charms in your MRE, you were supposed to throw the entire thing out.
No, no, no. Oh, okay, you wasted it. It's good for you because it gives you a little shot of sugar.
Chaps, the whole generation kill. Don't they throw the whole thing of charms out?
No, it's the green one.
Agree to disagree.
Let's look it up. Google it right now.
All right. Charms unlucky.
I'm whistling really nicely.
Okay. They don't even put charms in MREs anymore.
Oh, all right.
Because if everyone is just going to chuck the entire candy out of the Humvee window, it's a gross waste of syrup.
That was a weird way to pronounce syrup.
Syrup. No matter what an individual's tastes were, one item is always discarded, the charms candy. The reason was that for a mixture of superstition and because the younger guys knew it would just get slapped out of their hands for even opening the wrapper.
I don't think it's the whole one still, despite the fact that you Googled it. By a show of hands for all those who are listening, if you think it's green, just stick your little dick skinner high in the sky right damn now.
Nope, I didn't see anybody do it.
Fuck.
You're wrong. Yeah. You're dumb.
That's on me.
Yeah, the
that one's
my
on
God.
Me.
As Sergeant Kenneth Wilson told Agence France-Presse, I don't know what that means, just before the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, a lemon-flavored charm would cause a vehicle breakdown. The green ones were the ones that brought rain and raspberry meant certain death. You might as well
raspberry?
You might as well be eating apricots. So the apricots thing must be a well-known thing, too.
I've never heard of the apricots.
I've never heard of these. If you have good military superstitions, let us know at ZeroBlog30 on Instagram and Twitter.
You know what? Apricot's not good. Green's not good. Raspberry's not good. You know what is good?
What?
Amber and lavender shampoo.
Ooh.
That's so fancy.
From Dollar Shave Club?
Because this episode of ZeroBlog30 is also brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. No matter what you're doing in the bathroom, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. They have amazing shower stuff, hair styling products, toothbrushes and toothpastes, and of course, razors and shave supplies. That's how I get ready. But you're not me because you don't have to come to a hotel like this one. This one, by the way, the hotel that we're in right now.
What a treat.
I brought my travel kit that I got from Dollar Shave Kit.
Yeah.
And I put in some body wash in here. And because the water pressure is out of this world, so were the bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
I walked out this morning feeling right as rain, like I had just eaten a bunch of green charms.
Our producer, Brent, got to his room before us, and he sent Chaps a picture of his tub right away because he's like, oh, Chaps is going to be
taking a bath. I asked for it. I don't think that the haters and losers realize how much I was. When we were standing there together, I asked very specifically for a room with the bathtub. And to my surprise, every hotel room in this place has a bathroom. That's why Seattle's doing it right. So is Dollar Shave Club. You might do your hair to get ready to go out for a soccer match like your David Beckham. But you can do it better with the styling gel that DollarShaveClub.com gets you. The thing is, no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything that you need. And right now, you can get ready with an amazing deal on any one of their starter sets. I recommend the Daily Essential Starter Kit. That's the one that has the Amber and Lavender Body Cleanser. So you don't go wrong with any of them. Head over to DollarShaveClub.com/tax to pick your Dollar Shave Club starter kit for just $5. And after your starter set, product shipped at just a regular price. And make sure you check out their new video too. They're pretty damn funny. That's DollarShaveClub.com/chaps. DollarShaveClub.com/chaps.
Do you have any superstitions, Chaps? Of your own?
Not really. I don't think that there's anything that I do that I go out of my way to avoid. Except for snakes.
I still follow into that. I don't like stepping on the sidewalk cracks. It still weirds me out. I don't want to break my mom's back. That is like a thing, though, that I like subconsciously follow. And when I was in, it was like my own personal superstition. I had to have notes taped inside my Kevlar from loved ones in a certain pattern. I don't know if that's crazy, but I did.
No, I guess I do have one that I do. It's not really a superstition, but it's just like a tradition. Kind of the same thing. Like if you break tradition and become like bad luck, if I'm in like a porta potty, I have to draw a dick.
You have to draw a dick.
I absolutely have to.
Yep.
The moment that I'm in there, I sit down. I know I'm going to be there for like 20 minutes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pull out my Sharpie and start writing.
I think that's a thing for Marines. Probably a lot of military across the board. Even I do it.
There was a woman today at Starbucks. I didn't really want to mention it until the video comes out. She draws the prettiest cock you've ever seen in a latte.
On top of a latte. We had a competition to who could make the best latte, and we all tried to do the art on top. Ours looked terrible, but she nailed it. And it was so great because it was like she knew it was a military thing. So mm-hmm. So she did that, and I just was tickled by it.
It was very good. She wasn't proud of it, so I took credit for it and slurped right. that thing up big
She's
time.
She's like, I don't want my pastor to know that I made this dick drawing on this latte. So Chaps like, I'll pretend that I made it. But yeah, it was really, really, I was very impressed by it. The ball to shaft ratio, perfect, I'd say.
Just let that hang out there for a little bit.
It was great. Well, anyways, and you drank it. You said it was delicious.
So. It was creamy. Very good. Wonderful. You little pick me up.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back Tuesday with an episode. You're going to hear so much from the Starbucks people about what they're doing. And it's not boring. Nope. I know like it sounds boring, like a lot of times whenever you have an ad integrated into your content, but it's not. These people are great. What they're doing for the veteran community is great, and their background stories. We talked to two people from MARSOC, who is the Marine Corps Special Operations Command. We talked to some people who, one dude, his job while he was in the Navy was to go golfing.
Part of it, yeah. That was part of his job. It was a
big part of his job to go golfing in Italy.
We talked to someone who's still in the Army transitioning out.
Army captain, and we talked to a SWO. So pretty good little mix of everybody.
Very interesting. Way more than not just baristas, because they do awesome stuff too, but there are so many opportunities at Starbucks. I'm glad that we're getting to discover what they're offering to veterans.
I do feel bad about one thing being out here on the trip.
What?
I wasn't going to say anything because I don't normally like to give cons any credit at all, but I do miss him. I wish he was out here.
I do miss
here.
Him too. Yep.
I wish he was out here with us because he's doing his other thing in New York and he's going to go watch Army play Oklahoma.
Yep.
Which he's going to love, obviously.
But he's just good vibes.
He is good vibes.
Good vibes.
But we didn't want to have an episode cons free. So what Con's going to do is in a very cons way, he's going to have zero blog history.
Ooh.
So instead of sounding the normal retreat, we're going to sound the historical treat with cons. And then we're probably going to sound the retreat after that. So, all right, here's cons.
Welcome back. On today's edition of Zero Blog History, in honor of its birthday this week, we are going to discuss the United States Air Force. No, seriously, I'm going to spend the next segment talking exclusively about the Air Force, and if you can believe it, I'm going to be positive. I know we like to give them a hard time, but it is important to know the proud history of one of our branches of service that is sometimes overlooked. The National Security Act of 1947 created the National Military Establishment, later renamed the United States Department of Defense, which was composed of four of the five branches, the Army, Marines, Navy, and newly created Air Force. On 18 September 1947, the Army Air Forces became the United States Air Force as a separate and equal element of the United States Armed Forces. The fledgling Air Force quickly established its own identity. Army airfields were renamed Air Force bases, and personnel were soon being issued new uniforms with new rank insignia. In 1948, the Women's Armed Services Integration Act gave women permanent status in the regular and reserves forces of the Air Force. On 8 July 1948, Esther McGowan Blake became the first woman in the Air Force, enlisting the first minute of the first hour of the first day regular Air Force duty was authorized for women. Since 1947, the Air Force played a major role in most major combat operations our military has seen, including Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, Bosnia and Kosovo, and most recently, the Global War on Terror. Some of the most well-known airmen include Robin Olds. Olds joined the military through West Point, an all-star linebacker for the football team who was anxious to get into the fight, raging in World War II Europe. His legacy was larger than life. He was a triple ace fighter pilot with 16 kills in World War II and married Hollywood actress Ella Raines. He stayed in the Air Force when it became independent from the U.S. Army and then commanded a fighter wing during the Vietnam War. His signature mustache he wore during Vietnam as a way to thumb his nose at the media is memorialized today during the Mustache March. Daniel Chappie James Jr. Though Chappie did not see combat until the Korean War, he was one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, training pilots in the Army Air Corps' 99th Pursuit Squadron, the famous Red Tails. In Korea, he flew 101 combat missions and then another 78 missions as Vice Commander of the 8th Tactical Fighter Wing during the Vietnam War. In the 8th TFW, he served under none other than Colonel Robin Olds, including during Operation Bolo, the highest single MiG sweep ever. The duo were so successful that their men nicknamed the team Black Man and Robin. During his command of the U.S. Air Force base in Libya, he stared down Muammar Gaddafi in a standoff, admitting later that he almost shot the dictator with his .45. Would have made the story even better. Chappie became the first African-American to reach the rank of four-star general and the third person of African descent to reach the highest ranks in the Western world. Chuck Yeager. 2 days before he famously broke the sound barrier, he broke two ribs and had them treated at a veterinarian's office rather than risk losing that flight by going to an Air Force doctor. Curtis LeMay. LeMay was the youngest four-star general in American military history. He served with four stars longer than anyone ever had. A big deal for a general who didn't go to a service academy. He earned the nickname Iron Ass for his stubbornness and shortness once his mind was made up. George Everett Bud Day. Flying combat missions over North Vietnam, he was shot down, captured, tortured, beaten, and sent to the infamous Hanoi Hilton. A year later, he was sent to the Zoo, a punishment camp for the most defiant POWs. At his most defiant, he would stare down his guards, singing the Star-Spangled Banner in their face. These men, along with countless others, exemplified the proud tradition of the United States Air Force. Happy birthday, Air Force, and here's to 71 more years off into the wild blue yonder.